Good morning, everyone. So good to see you. I got a few good mornings back. Let's try it one more time. Good morning, everyone. Oh, I love it. Don't you just love our Lighthouse family? I surely do. So I want to remind you, if this is your first time here, you are a visitor, we welcome you. We want you to feel at home. But if it's your second time here, we've claimed you as our own, and you're just a part of the craziness. So don't hold back. We have several announcements we want to make you aware of. First of all, kids and teenagers. Anyone going to youth camp? No? All right, so youth camp starts on Saturday. It is not too late if you want to go. You can still go. So make sure you have a ride to get down there. Make sure you have a ride to get back. We don't want you to stay. So kids are going down Saturday. Teens are going down Tuesday. And we want all of you adults, please, please, please be praying, because I believe youth camp is a time when God can impact children in a mighty, mighty way. And that happens through prayer, amen? So we'll be praying for that. Also, our youth camp has asked for donations. So if there's any food items you would like to donate, there's a list back on the door. And you would need to let me or one of the youth pastors know today what you can bring, and bring it on Wednesday, and we will get it down to them. So if you want to help with some food items, please check that out and let us know. Also, I wanted to just throw this out there for anyone who may be interested, but our organization is doing a trip to Israel, and that is in April of 2024. It is not cheap. But if you're interested in going, you can see Pastor Joe or myself, and we can give you the information to check it out. It is about $5,000 per person, including airfare and food and hotel and everything. So if you're interested, please see us. That will be happening in April of 2024. Pastor Joe and I are planning to go. We have never been to Israel, and we're very excited to go and check that out. Also wanted to give you a heads up. We are planning a baptism service at the creek. So if anyone would like to get baptized and you're okay with doing it at the creek, please come and see us and let us know. That'll take place on Sunday, August 20th, and we will do that right after morning service. So we'll just drive out to the creek and have a baptism service right then. And then this Wednesday is Target service. We will be uptown at the gazebo. Pastor Debbie Barnes will be preaching the message for us. So bring your friends, bring your neighbors, your family. Invite them to come up. We will have free food, great music, and a word from the Lord. So you will not be disappointed. Come up Wednesday at 7 p.m. downtown Cary. And my last announcement is we have a great organization that comes into our schools and teaches the Word of God. They can't do it in the school system, but the school allows them to take kids out of the school system during the school day once a week, and they take them to a church and minister. That is powerful, because there are some kids that's the only church they get. But in order to make that work, they do need a few volunteers. The volunteers do not do any teaching. All you do is either ride with the kids on the bus from the school to the church, or you sit at the church and just kind of help make sure the kids are behaving. So if they're talking, you just whisper and say, hey, pay attention, or you help pass out papers. So they do need a few adults to help with that. So if you are interested, it is during the week on a Tuesday and Wednesday morning for about an hour in the morning. So if you're able to help with that, please let me know and we will get you the information. And we have a short promo video, and then Brother Ryan will be coming up with our scripture.
Can you remember the first time you heard the story of Jesus' birth? Or exactly how tall Goliath was? When was the last time you actually listened in awe to a Bible story? And where did you hear those Bible stories? Church? Sunday school? Vacation Bible school? A growing percentage of school-aged children in Wyandotte County have never had that opportunity. Many have never heard who Jesus is, or that he came to die for you and for me, and some have never heard that God loves them more than they can imagine. Wyandotte Cares wants to change that. What is Wyandotte Cares? Wyandotte Cares, or as you may remember it, Religious Education, is a program that provides weekly Bible classes for students in Wyandotte County, Ohio. Students from Cary, Mohawk, Riverdale, and Upper Sandusky schools may attend classes with their parents' permission during the school day. Within the Upper Sandusky School District, middle and high school classes are offered, with high schoolers receiving credit towards graduation. So what happens during a Wyandotte Cares class? Students hear Bible stories, learn memory verses, sing, pray, and learn that Jesus loves them and how to begin or grow in a relationship with Him. And who teaches those classes? Students are taught by qualified, dedicated, and faithful teachers who also encourage them to apply what they've learned to everyday life. So research has shown that students who attend classes like Wyandotte Cares have better moral and character development and often get significantly better grades in school. But the teachers can't do this alone. We depend on volunteers who have passed a background check to accompany students to class by either riding the bus or walking. Our volunteers are great. We are always looking for new faces, and Wyandotte Cares needs more volunteers in all school districts. If you are interested, please visit us online. What if I'm unable to volunteer? How else can I help? Please pray. Pray for the students, schools, staff, and our teachers and volunteers. And we also would like to ask for your financial support. Wyandotte Cares classes are offered to students for free, and help us then to continue to spread the good news, His news.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I want to open up our service this morning with a scripture out of 1 Timothy. Beginning in verse 15, it says, "This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. But I received mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life." And I just wanted to read that this morning to remind everyone that there's hope for all of us and that we don't have to, and that's a better way of saying you don't get to, decide who receives God's mercy and grace. And something that's been really on my heart recently is acceptance. And I was trying to think the other day, what's the difference in acceptance and fitting in? If I expect you to fit in, that means I need you to be just like me. I need you to act just like I expect you to act. Say the things that I want you to say. But if I accept you, that's about you. That means I'm accepting who you are. I desire to hear what you have to say. I want to have you join in and be part of what we're doing. And church, that's where we get diversity. That's where we get diversity. Amen? So when you're thinking about people as they come into your life or into church or at work, focus on accepting them. Amen? Because we've been accepted, we've been forgiven, and we've been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. So just think of that maybe next time when somebody new comes along. Amen? So if you'd stand with me now, we'll pray over our tithes and offerings. Lord, we thank you for the blessings you just provide for us each and every day. Lord, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to pour them back into your kingdom, Lord. So we just ask you to bless these offerings here today. Bless those online. Bless those in person. However they may give, whatever they may give, Lord, it's the intention of the heart that you see, Lord. So we just ask you to bless all who are here and all who are giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
doors. He parted the raging seas. My God, He holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. Shout out Your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause He hung upon that cross and He rose up from that grave. My God, of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. We shout out Your praise. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. We shout out Your praise. We shout out Your praise. We shout out Your praise.
Hallelujah.
last week, I heard somebody's testimony of his past, and it broke me because it was just a heartbroken testimony, because it didn't share what God took him out of. But I want to share a testimony of what God took me out of, and all the goodness he brought me out of. Because I can tell you all the hurt that happened in my life, but that isn't going to accomplish anything. Because there's souls out there that need to be healed. There's souls that need to be won. Even the people that hurt me, they have souls, and they need to be led to Jesus. And they need to know about Jesus. They need to know about Jesus, just like I needed to know about Jesus. And there's evidence in my life. My children are the evidence of what God did in my life. He healed me. He saved me. And my children are walking for Jesus. And your children, you're praying for them. They're going to walk for Jesus. And I believe that. I believe that. And we can walk in that. And that it can be our testimony, because he saved us. And that is what we need to speak of. We need to speak our testimony. But we need to speak life in our testimony. Because that's what the sinners need to hear, is our testimony of life. Of how God saved us. Took us out of the miry clay. How he saved me. And I thank Jesus every day for that. He saved you. And he's gonna save more. And you're gonna tell them about that. Hallelujah! 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 See the cross. Evidence is endless. All my
freed the captives then. You're freeing captives now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You entered and you are the answer. You are the same God. You are the same God. You are provider then. You are provider now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You are the power. Power now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You are a Savior then. You are a Savior now. You are the same God. You are the same God. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. You freed the captives then, you're freeing hearts right now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You're touching lepers then, you'll feel your touch right now. You are the same God, you are the same God. Savior Jesus.
is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after.
Good morning. So I know this is a little different from what maybe we usually do on Sundays, but who here knows that it's important to listen to the Holy Spirit and be obedient? I have a little bit of backstory testimony to share with why this was important to do this morning. So just bear with me for a little bit. I'm not going to try to make it too long. But I feel like it's important. I know not everybody knows. Our youngest son is 8 years old, And a few years later, I felt the Lord tell me to be a gestational carrier and carry some babies for some very close friend of ours. And it was a beautiful gift. It was a beautiful blessing to be able to be a part of that. But I love babies. And I didn't feel a pull to those babies that they were mine. It wasn't a loss. But I think had my husband said okay and God let me, I would just keep having babies. I just love babies. I love the experience. I love that God has gifted women with that ability. It's a beautiful thing. And so for, it was a plan actually, after those twins were born, it's been almost 5 years ago now, that we were done. And we took the necessary measures for that to be the case. And then people started having these dreams. My sister-in-law had a dream about me having a baby. My husband was having dreams. I was having visions from God about babies. I'm like, okay, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to have this baby. But we have this time frame. And I was praying, and nothing was happening. And I knew there was this small window. And so I kept pressing in and praying, and I'm like, God, is this just not supposed to happen? At one point, God spoke to me and said, are you limiting me? Are you putting a limit on me? I'm like, okay, God, so maybe this is going to be past the point of the surgery, you know, the time frame, and God's going to just make it this miracle and testimony. And time went by, and I kept praying, and then it was on my heart, like, God, am I supposed to be praying for something different? Like, am I not supposed to pray for this miracle? What is your will for me? And my prayers started to turn to, God, I want what you want. I want this. This is what I want. But if this is not what you want for me, then I want your will. And it was a hard struggle, and I battled for a long time with that desire. And I would say not quite a year ago, well, let's incorporate this dance part. I know God has laid dance on my heart. It ministers to me. It speaks to my spirit. And I love to worship and dance to God. I do. It's a free thing to move and just flow in his presence and just let your body physically move the way he's directing you to. But I didn't know quite how to start or incorporate this into this body. And again, this struggle of this baby was still heavy on my heart. And we shared these dreams once with our sister-in-law, Tasha, and she told us, you know, sometimes God gives dreams of babies and births to birth a new ministry. And it didn't really put two and two together at that time. And until this past new year, I had definitely thought that I was pregnant to the point where I was purchasing prenatal vitamins. I didn't wait for a positive or negative test. I just knew in myself, I knew it. And took a test on New Year's Eve right before coming here to the church, and it was negative. And I was a little bit crushed and heartbroken. And I didn't understand. Nothing was making sense at that moment. And as we were driving here to come fellowship with our brothers and sisters to bring in the new year, I was kind of moping in the front seat. Who else can relate to that? Like, you just think God's going to do this thing, and then, like, we're his children. So sometimes we pout and throw a fit like children. So as I was looking and sulking out the window, this song came on the radio, and in my flesh, I did not want to give praise to God in that moment. I just didn't. Sometimes it's hard. But God started giving me a vision of me dancing to this song, and my husband singing this song. I'm like, God, why? Why are you giving this to me now? This doesn't make sense. But it was so heavy. Like, I could literally feel it, the need to do this. And I think I shared with him a little later. I didn't really share with anybody else. But a while later, it kept being on my heart. And finally, I think when we're finally at the place that we're ready to accept and move on and really, really desire what God's will is, because he knows what's best and he wants what's best for us, then he's going to start showing you things and showing you the intention of his heart, and it's going to be the intention of your heart. And I completely lost that desire for baby. I still love babies. I will hold your babies if you want me to hold your babies. But God has freed me from that desire, that want in myself, to want to have that. That's not what the place is that I'm at anymore. God has something he wants me to step into and start walking into and nurture it. It's new. It's like a baby. And that's what God was speaking to me. And this song is a song to just glorify God. It's called Worthy of It All. And God is worthy of it all. He's worthy of our praise through the hard times, through the struggles, no matter what we're facing, because he's going to bring you through that. He's going to walk beside you. He's going to take your hand. He's going to say, son or daughter, I'm here. I know it's hard. I know it feels like it's impossible. But like the song we just sang this morning, same God. The God that did those things for everyone we've read of in the Bible that we know is truth, he is still that God. And he wants to do those things in your life. You just have to give him the trust and the room to do it. Because he wants to move you into those places of greatness and miracles. He wants you to witness those things. And I felt like I was confused at why it was supposed to be someone singing this song. And the Lord spoke to me that it's not everybody is ministered to in the same way. Their spirit doesn't always bear witness in the same ways. Some people are more spoken to through song, through the word, through somebody giving them a word. And some people are spoken to through dance. And it is a ministry and calling on these guys' lives as well to sing. Their voices are gifts from God, and they need to use those. So this morning, that's why they're going to sing. But I also want to make this very clear. This is not for me to be up here in front of you guys and give you a performance. I would rather not be up here in front of all of you doing this by myself. This is me being obedient to the Spirit and showing that this is a way to worship and praise God. So no matter what it looks like, that's what this is. I want to speak on a couple scriptures. In Psalm 150, it says, I'm going to need a tissue. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Thank you. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So God is telling you, with anything you have, if you can't sing, that's okay. God wants you to still offer your praise up. If it's throwing your hands up in the air, if it's clapping your hands, if it's swaying back and forth in your seat, it's offering a praise up to God. So give that praise to him. And in 2 Samuel, it talks about when David is moving the Ark of the Covenant. And Uzzah and his brother, I didn't put his name down because I don't want to mispronounce it. They were leading the cart that was carrying the ark. And at one point, the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out to grab it. And the Lord was angered for his error and struck him dead. And David was angry with God for that moment. He feared the Lord that day. So he didn't want to continue taking it to the house of David. He said, how can this ark come to me? So they stopped, and I lost my place. They stopped and placed the Ark of the Covenant in Obed-Edom. And it remained there for 3 months. And David saw that they were blessed greatly. His family was greatly blessed. And with rejoicing, David decided to move it on the rest of the way to the house of David. And he was dancing and offering praise before this Ark of the Covenant as they were moving. And as he offered sacrifice, as they moved the ark along, David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. And Saul's daughter had witnessed that. And she was disgusted with him, thinking he was making a fool of himself. But David was dancing before the Lord. He was offering his praise. And she then was barren after that for feeling that way. And I just want to address that it's important to not judge people for how they worship. Everybody's got their own way of how the Lord speaks to them and moves in them. And that's between them and God. So this morning, if you feel like dancing, please step out and dance. You don't have to, but if you are moved in that way, then be obedient to the Spirit and step out and dance. Move your arms a little bit. Feel some freedom in that. The words are going to be up on the screen, and we encourage you to sing along, please. This is not, like I said, for us to entertain you. This is for you guys to join in worship and just being obedient in the Spirit to do this morning. So I definitely encourage you all to stand. And we're going to get this song going.
You are worthy of it all. night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, lift your voices, church. He's worthy of it all. He's worthy of all of our praise and glory and honor that we can give him. Hallelujah. Praise be unto the Lord God Jehovah. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We give you thanksgiving and honor and praise this day. Let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Can I just real quick say something about that little tag right there that I wanted to mention earlier and I forgot? And thank you, Sister Betty, for singing that again. I love that part of the song. And I wanted to understand really what that meant. And it's being in constant prayer and worship to God. It doesn't mean we have to dedicate our entire day into our secret place, because God knows that we have things to do. But as you're walking through your day, whether you go to work, you're at school, kids, even when you're at school, we can constantly be in conversation with God and giving him thanks and glory. And that's what that means. To day and night, let the incense arise. That's an offering. And God loves that fragrance. So just carry that with you as you leave today. It doesn't have to just be here. We don't just offer our praise to God here. Be in that constant prayer and conversation with him and just give him glory because he is worthy of it all.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 It's interesting because I was going to actually expound on that a little bit to make sure we understand. How many know that there's times where songs refer to something in the Bible and not everybody understands what it's talking about, right? In the Old Testament, there was the golden altar of incense. It's set right in front of the most holy place, the holiest of holies. They would burn incense on that day and night, all day long, all night long, offering praise and worship unto God. And isn't it interesting that for that to happen, for you to be able to enter the holy place, you first had to come to the golden altar of incense. For us to be in the holy presence of God, how do we usher ourselves into His presence where there's a manifestation of that, right? Where we sense that God is real, where we understand that God's moving. It all begins with our worship. We cannot move into a holy place with God without first giving Him worship. Amen? And day and night, night and day, let our incense arise unto God. Now, we don't literally burn incense anymore, but it is a expression from our soul that goes to heaven. And when that happens, God smells a beautiful fragrance because His people are glorifying Him. They're sweet-smelling savors is what the Bible says, that are offered up before Him. You know, even your tears are caught and bottled up and opened before the throne of God. And God sees those tears. He smells the fragrance of our hearts and our souls, and He answers our prayers. Amen. What an amazing God we serve. Isn't He worthy of it all? He's worthy of all the glory and the honor and praise that we can give Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm excited about what God's doing in our midst. I'm excited about what God's birthing amongst us. And sometimes those of us would like it to be an actual baby, and other times those of us are saying, hallelujah, I'm done with that, and I'm going to have spiritual babies now. Amen. But how many know that sometimes spiritual babies are harder to take care of than real ones? So as we are celebrating, also roll up your sleeves and get ready to go. Amen? Get ready to work. Well, this morning we're going to dismiss our students to go to their classes. The teens have a teen class this morning that they're welcome to go to. And we also have our Firehouse Kids this morning. And then there is also a primary class. And if you didn't know, the person who was up here dancing, who just loves babies and wants to hold all your babies, she takes care of your babies in nursery. And so she's back there holding your babies and ready to do that. So if you need to take your child to nursery class, they're ready and available for that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love it when God begins to put things together for you. And I don't know if you've had this happen before, but there's times in my life where I feel like I'm hearing from God and knowing I need to do something, but it just doesn't make sense. You ever had that happen? You're just not really sure about it. Like, does that make sense? And then as you lead up to that moment, all of a sudden things just kind of start falling in line and going in place. And I'm just grateful for how God does that. Many times in my life, I feel like I just get this word or this unction to do something, and it's completely out of the blue. And I'm like, God, that doesn't make sense to me. But God always puts things in order and prepares the way for us. Amen. And so I'm excited about what God's doing in this church, and the messages that God has been having me preach, I believe, are just falling into alignment and taking us where He's leading us. And one of those places are, and I want to hit on this just for a moment before I go into the message this morning, is God has already begun developing this church as a church of diversity. And I want you to understand, it's not just in an ethnic way, although we have that, and that's exciting, isn't it? I love it when the churches look like heaven. You know, I don't like it when churches don't look like heaven. You know, when we get to heaven, not everybody's going to be the same color, the same size, the same shape, right? Because the Bible says every nation, every tribe, every tongue will bow, right, and worship the Lord. So I'm thankful for that, but I'm also thankful for the diversity of life. And I think it's important that we have a church that has people from all walks of life. You understand what I'm saying? That have come from different places, that have grown up different ways, but we've all come to the same Jesus. We've all been rescued from our sin, and we've all been transformed into His glorious image. And now we are saved by His grace, and we have divine character and nature that comes after God. Now, I want to be careful here. I'm not saying that all walks of life are represented, because some walks of life are sinful. We understand that. But I'm saying, what your background, it's amazing to me that we all come together from various, multiple, diverse backgrounds, but now we all have the same nature because Jesus has redeemed us and transformed us. Amen? And so that's just as exciting for me as the diversity of ethnicity. And so I want to just share this with you as a reminder, because I'm going to keep this before you for two things. First of all, I want you to be prepared. And second of all, I want you to be in prayer. And that is that in August, the very first Sunday in August, will be our first complete bilingual service. And we've had times where people have translated some things into Spanish for us, or they've been speaking in Spanish, we translated it into English. There's obviously, we have the lyrics and words in both languages, and there's been times where people have sung a song in Spanish or whatever. But this whole service is going to be completely bilingual. Everything we're doing, we're going to do both in English and in Spanish, because it's on our heart to reach the Hispanic community in this area. We found out in our county there's no Spanish-speaking church. And so we have begun to walk and move forward to create that. And so this is our first step in having services. I don't know how long this will go on, but we're planning on doing it at least once a month for however long we need to. Now listen, if we have 20, 30 people show up that only speak Spanish on the first Sunday of August, we're going to plan on having a full Spanish service, all right? We got everybody here, okay, that we need. But at the same time, I also want us to realize that we are not a different church. And we're not just doing this so we can launch a Spanish-speaking church and let them be on their own and do their own thing. No, we are the church. They are a part of us. We are connected to them. And so that's another reason why I think having this bilingual service is important, that we make connections with this with these people. And you may think, well, I don't know that I can speak to them. You can't in their language, but you can with your body language. You can go up and hug their neck and show them that you love them. Show them that you're excited about what God wants to do in their life and is doing in their life. Amen. And so we need to be connected in that way in the spirit realm as one church. And so I wanted to make this announcement to you before we move into the message this morning, that back in the back, I believe at that table, or where's it at? The welcome table, the welcome center. There are summaries. It's actually pretty cool. It's the summary of the gospels, all four gospels put together in a summary form. And inside of those are touch cards, that's what they call them, of invitations to that service. Everything is in Spanish. So now please don't be wasteful here. But if you have individuals that you know that could use that, that you want to bless them with that, stop by and get some of those. Give them that invitation. Give them that summary of the gospel that's in the Spanish language for them to read and get them prepared and ready. Because here's the thing. Here's what we're finding. Is there's people who want to go to a house of worship, and they have no place to go. And contrary to what you think, they don't know about us. Isn't it interesting that we think everybody knows that there's this church out here because this is where we go? I find out all the time, people who've lived here their whole life have no clue that there's a church here. They ask me, what do you do? I'm a pastor. Oh, you're a pastor. Where do you pastor? I pastor the Lighthouse Church outside of Cary. Oh, there's a church outside of Cary? Sometimes some people may think this is a barn. Driving down the road, you know what I mean? Just a big metal building, right? We're out in the middle of the country. So we need to get the word out, because there's people who are looking for a church where they feel welcomed, where they feel like they can be a part of. And so if you know some individuals that you can pass those out to, make sure you grab them, pass it out. And y'all pretty quiet for me. I'm excited about what God's doing. I'm excited for this service. Are you excited for this service? I'm excited. We're going to see people ministered to. This is exciting to me. And so let's make sure that we're getting the word out and spreading the word to people. And who knows? You may know somebody, but you may be thinking in the back of your mind, they don't want nothing to do with the church. They don't want. Invite them anyway. Right? I mean, we all have that family member that never comes to our family get-togethers, right? But we still invite them. They're still invited, right? So what if they tell you no, they're not going to come? They can't tell you no unless you invite them, amen? So let's give them the invitation, all right? Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bible with you this morning, I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy. We're going to start in chapter 1. We're going to read one verse from there. I'm going to expound on some more. But I've been trying to really hone in on the verses that God wants me to preach on for time-wise. I know I can get a little long-winded sometimes. And when I start reading Scripture, it just starts stirring in me. I want to preach every letter of every word of every verse of every summary of section, and you know, I just want to get after it. So we're going to start reading here, and I want to just kind of, in continuation of last Sunday, continue along this path of being dependent upon God, walking in His Spirit, understanding how that is practically applied to our life. Because sometimes we have this disconnect, don't we? Sometimes we come to church, hear a sermon preached. We think that's great and that's amazing. We think that's good in the context of the church, inside the church, building inside of us. And we hear a good word and it stirs us. But then there's a disconnect in our mind that when we leave here, we need to live that word out practically. We need to do it, right? And that's just been on my heart all year long is, hey, church, let's be the church. Let's not go to church. Let's not attend a service, a gathering. Let's actually be who God's called us to be. And so thinking along that vein, God started stirring this verse in my heart at the beginning of this last week. And as I was prayerful about what God wanted, and I actually tried to dismiss it. Just so you know, I tried to dismiss it because this is such a popular passage. People know this. People quote this. And I thought to myself, God, you know, look, I'm human. So I know how all you are. So you hear a passage referred to that you know that as soon as I said 2 Timothy 1:7, you're all like, oh, not everyone, but some of you were like, yeah, okay, I know what that says. And you started checking out. I know this one. I got this one. Don't we do that? We do that. Right? I tried to do it with God. It's like, everybody knows that one, God. It's like, no, there's more insight. Isn't that the wonderful thing about Scripture? There's always something more we can learn. God is always teaching us something. And so let's look what this says. The Bible says this, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Some translations say a self or a sound mind. Some say, I just forgot the word, but self-control is what it's saying. So we have sound mind or self-control. It's talking about a form of discipline. You understand that? Being disciplined, having a disciplined life. So God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. But in that spirit, there is power. It is full of love, and it enables us to live a disciplined life. And I don't know that we fully understand this verse when we're quoting it. We take it out of the context in which it was being spoken, and we put it on bumper stickers and t-shirts because we like the idea of being enabled by something greater than ourselves. But even more so, sometimes the focus is on the first part of saying that I don't have fear. I don't have fear. That's the focus part. And we quote this when we feel afraid. Because I don't have the spirit of fear, but I feel fear. So, and there's nothing wrong with using that for that context, for that reason, but are we fully grasping what God was speaking to the church here? So let's pause for a moment and look at this. This comes right after Paul is expounding to a young minister named Timothy. Now, he's not only expounding to Timothy, but he's speaking to the church. That's why we have this in the canon of Scripture, so that we can understand this and gain insight from this and revelation of who Jesus is. And so as he's saying that, he's saying, first of all, listen, I'm reminded of something about your family, Tim. First in your grandma and then in your mom, and now I see it in you. There's an unfeigned faith. There's a faith that you guys have, that you believe in God, you trust in God, you follow after God. And I'm reminding you of this while I'm remembering this, because I want to put it in your remembrance, because I believe this is in you, but I want to see it in you. I want to see the evidence of your faith. So, what I'm going to tell you is this, that I remember laying hands on you and praying for you. And I remember there was an impartation of a gift, a blessing that fell upon you when I laid hands on you and prayed for you. And so what I'm going to do is, not only am I reminding you of the faith that you have been raised up in, and listen, you may be sitting here this morning saying, well, but my family didn't go to church. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Don't you for once believe that lie that you're a first-generation Christian. As soon as you enter the kingdom of heaven, you are part of the family of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your family has been going to church since the first century.
Amen.
So you're part of something greater than just your biological family. You have a connection and a heritage to Jesus Christ, who is our big brother, and God the Father, who is our heavenly Father, who cares for us and loves us. So let's put in remembrance of ourselves all of the faithful ones that have gone before us, who stood the test of time, who didn't lose the call of God upon their life, who didn't forget about keeping their faith in Jesus when times got tough. Listen, we think this generation is difficult. Let me tell you something, church. Every generation faces difficulty, and the only way they make it is faith in Jesus. So let's put ourselves in remembrance that there's people who've gone on before us. I'm thinking of some of them right now who are part of this church.
Yes.
Who they're the reason that we can be here today.
Yes. Yes.
There was a time where this was only just a little one-room schoolhouse brick building that they purchased off of a farmer that was leaving it to sit and decay and rot so he could farm the land around it. Didn't care about the building. He only cared about the land. And a group of people came together and bought this building so they could start having church together and worship Jesus together. And there were all kinds of ups and downs throughout the years. And there was a moment of time where there was no pastor here, but yet there were people who were faithful. People like Brother Richard Reisner who'd come out early and stock that potbelly stove so it would be warm in the wintertime for people to come to have church service. And there may only be five or six or a few coming, but they were still going to come and worship Jesus Christ. And it's through those things that those people were faithful unto God that we can be here today. That's why we're still here worshiping God today on the same piece of property, on the same land that God sanctified and called a church. So let's remember the faith of our forefathers and four sisters. But then let's also say this. It's in us too.
Yes, it is.
It's in us too.
Yes, it is.
The same faith in Jesus they had is the same Jesus I have faith in. And I won't quit believing in Him. I won't quit trusting in Him. I'm going to keep following after Him. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to hear the words of Paul to the young minister Timothy that says, now stir up that gift that is in your life. By the putting on of the hands of the presbytery. Or what does that mean? By the placing on the hands of the people of God as they've prayed for you through generation after generation after generation. There's been many people in this church that people have had their hands laid upon. And I'm not talking about just the fivefold ministry gifts. I'm talking about just being a child of God and functioning in what God has put in your life. Stir up the gift of salvation. Stir up the gift of the promise of the comforter that has come, which is the Holy Spirit. Stir up what God has done in your life, and don't you forget it.
Amen.
Stir that up.
Yeah.
Sometimes it gets settled. Settles to the bottom of our soul, and our soul begins to be attacked from every direction. I talked about this a little bit last week as I ministered to you. We live in a very soulless generation. We are moved by our emotions, which is part of our soul. And sometimes those things begin to settle in us that God has done, while the outside world is attacking our soul. And we have to put ourselves in remembrance of who we are. No, no, no. I'm not just an ordinary person. I'm not just made from nature anymore. I have been born again. And the Spirit of God now dwells inside of me. So I'm going to stir that Spirit up. And I'm going to remind myself that the same faith that saved me is the same faith that's going to get me through this one. The same faith that's going to get me through the next one. His name is Jesus. It's who I trust in. And He redeemed me and set me free. And so He'll get me through this thing too. So I'm going to stir that thing up. All of this was said before Paul, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, pens these words. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound, well-disciplined mind. He's telling us that there's a connection to our spirit, that when we stir our faith to believe in Jesus, that we also stir up the gift that the Spirit of God has put in us. And I can sit here and stay in my carnality and have myself a pity party because the whole world's against me now. You know that I'm enemy number one in America. I am. I am a white male that doesn't have any hair, so I look like a skinhead. I am enemy number one in America. And I'm an extreme conservative evangelical who still believes in the power of the Holy Spirit, who preaches the name of Jesus, believes in the blood of Jesus Christ, redemption of sins that sets us free, believes in all this stuff. I'm enemy number one in society. They're trying to tell me that I'm everything that's wrong with society. Yeah. And I'm even a Dallas Cowboys fan to boot. Now that's almost as bad as being a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I could sit here and just think, man, what is happening to our country? Isn't this terrible? Nobody likes me anymore. Everybody hates me. Woe is me. Poor, pitiful Joe. His wife made him pour sidewalk this week and redo his master bathroom. And my whole body hurts. I don't want to do anything today. You know, I'm just going to quit. Let's just quit. What's the hope? That's carnality.
Yes, it is.
That's the lies of the enemy. That is trying to get us to stop doing what we're doing because what we're doing is effective. Listen, you don't hear that stuff when what you're doing isn't effective. You start hearing that when what you're doing is making a difference. You start hearing those attacks. You start feeling that oppression when you know what you're doing is actually helping people. So instead of me sitting there having a pity party for myself, feeling bad about myself, I choose to stir up the gift of God that is within me, the gift of salvation and freedom, the gift of excellence of the Spirit, the gift that makes me walk righteous and holy before God, the gift that has transformed my life. I begin to remind myself of where I used to be and where I am now. I remember the blood that was posted over my doorpost who sanctified me and set me free and delivered me from the death angel. You see, death had a grip on my life and I was going to hell, but one day Jesus rescued me. Stir it up in you. Stir it up in you. Because then you'll realize you don't carry a spirit of timidity, a spirit of a coward, a spirit of fear. It's not talking about being afraid here. Now, if you need to use this scripture, if you feel fear, use it. But that's not what this context is saying. It's saying, don't you back down from anything, Timothy. And it's telling us the same thing. Don't you dare back down from anything. I see the faith of Jesus Christ in you. And I know the gift that God put in your life when I laid hands on you and prayed for you. So stir that thing up. And don't you walk around like you're fearful, like you're a coward, like you're timid. Because God has given you power. God has given you love. And God has disciplined your life. This is what he's saying to us. I'm not stuck in a rut. I could sit here and let's just go here for a minute, all right? I look across here and I can see all of your beautiful faces. But you know what my mind wants to do as a pastor? My mind wants to see all of them that's not here. My mind wants to go and say, where is so-and-so? Wonder where they're at. What's going on with them? Because as a pastor, I care about those people. I want to know that they're okay. I haven't seen them in a while. I don't know what's going on with them. What's happening? And here's the thing I've found. That if I reach out to them because I'm the pastor of the church, they don't tell me the truth. Most of the time, they won't even talk to me. Because they're afraid to talk to me, because I'm the pastor. Whoop-de-doo. They think I'm going to hunt them down like a debt collector and drag them to make them sit in their seat at church. No. I'm reaching out to people because I care. Yeah. But you know what? I've had to stop because they won't answer my text or phone call because they want to treat me like a debt collector. Like they owe me something. Let me tell you, church, you guys don't owe me anything. But the truth is we owe God everything. So my mind wants to go to all the people who aren't here. I've heard pastors do it and probably been guilty of it myself. Small crowd at a service. And what do? We get up and talk about who ain't there. While all the rest of the people are sitting there, they're going, well, I'm here. What do you care about the people ain't here? I'm here. And we just push more people away. We cause more people not to come back. Why? Because we allow our carnal mind to get in the way of what God's really wanting to do. And so we get the focus in the wrong place. We put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Did you understand that English? Yeah. The emphasis on the wrong syllable. The emphasis on the wrong syllable. Some of them still ain't getting it. You understand? We put the point where it's not supposed to be. It ain't about the people who aren't here, Pastor Joe. We're not in a situation of Sodom and Gomorrah where we couldn't find 10 righteous people. There's more than 10 here right now. You say, well, maybe not everybody's righteous. They were righteous enough to be here this morning. And we're only righteous because of Jesus Christ anyway. So I'm not judging people. I'm saying we're here because we know that we need to be here. We can sit here and look at America and the landscape of America and be like a lot of the other churches and be condemning and talk about how terrible everything is. We can look at our job situation and see all of the problems about our job. We can look at our families. We can talk about all the issues of our families. And everything that needs to be corrected and be so frustrated with that. And we can sit there in our carnal mind and be frustrated, angry, upset, sad, have all of these emotions that push us into a negative mindset that then controls the way we live our life. Or we can stir up the gift of God that's within us and remember what He's done in our life and remember that if He got me to this point, He's going to get me across the finish line. I'm going to get to see Him face to face one day. Thank God this isn't heaven. It's not supposed to be heaven. And sometimes it feels more like hell than it does heaven. But that's okay, because the Spirit of God's with me. And I'm going to stir that thing up that's inside of me so I can keep moving forward by His grace, by His power, by His Spirit. He will enable me to overcome every onslaught of the kingdom of darkness that comes my way. He'll enable me to overcome everything that is a problem in my life if I get my focus on Him, because He is greater. He's greater. And so, I have not been given this spirit to walk by that has fear in it. Do you know that there's no fear in the Holy Spirit? There's no cowardice in the Holy Spirit. There's no timidity in the Holy Spirit. I mean, did you see how He was poured out on the earth? A sound as of a rushing mighty wind. Phil, do you think that was timid? You think that was like, oh, let me just creep in here. No. A sound like a storm was rolling. As a rushing mighty wind filled the whole house where they were sitting. And all of a sudden, people started speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. He came in, and with a boldness, they began to speak the wonderful works of God. And what he did in one room could not be contained just there in that upper room. But the noise was noised or sounded abroad throughout the streets of Jerusalem. And everybody heard the wonderful works of God. Because we have not been given a spirit of fear. We have been given the Holy Spirit that has boldness and power. Few chapters later, after they were being persecuted and threatened with their life, by the way, we're going to kill you, you keep talking about this Jesus. That's what they told them. We're going to kill you, you keep talking about this Jesus. So they decided to have a prayer meeting so they could whine and complain to God. Is that what they did? Oh God, you told us to do this thing, and now they don't like us, and they said they're going to throw us in jail and kill us. You need to do something about this. God, help us, God. Isn't that how we sound when we pray? God, forgive us. That's not how they sounded when they prayed. They came together, and they said, now, God, you see their threatenings. You see what they're saying. So, God, we're asking right now for a boldness to speak it anyway. Hallelujah. We don't care what they say. We're going to speak the name of Jesus. We don't care what they do. We're going to preach the name of Jesus. And so we're coming and asking you for a boldness right now to make sure we keep doing what you told us to do. What did they? They stirred the gift up inside of them. They said, I ain't going to quit on God now. This is right when things are getting good. We just saw 3,000 people get saved at one moment. We baptized them all. We're gaining momentum. I'm not going to let my feelings get hurt because someone said that they're going to throw me in jail or kill me. I need the boldness of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God that doesn't have any timidity or cowardness or fear came into the building again. And the Bible says it shook the house. Shook it. The place was shaking like an earthquake. He gave them the understanding that I have a boldness in the Spirit of God that I'm supposed to go forth and conquer. Conquer, not to retreat. God has not given us the spirit of fear, timidity, cowardness. He's saying God has not put a retreat in us. God has not put a back down in us. Because guess what? Our backs are never against the wall when we have Jesus. I've been studying the book of John this year. I didn't even know I was going to go here. But I'm just following what I hear the Spirit saying. Been studying the book of John. And the book of John tells us the story of Lazarus. Lazarus got sick. Bad. So bad that they sent word to Jesus. Hey, you may want to come. Your friend. If you didn't know, Lazarus was a really close friend of Jesus Christ. Our Lord. He's saying, hey, he's sick bad. You may want to come. Now, we don't think about this in the context of what's going on. So let me lay it out for you, okay? They had just threatened for the second, third, however many time, to kill Jesus in Judea. So Jesus left Judea because he knew it wasn't time yet for his crucifixion. Now, unbeknownst to the disciples, this is what was going on. He kept trying to tell the disciples, but the disciples wouldn't listen. Does that sound familiar? We just don't like to listen sometimes, do we?
No.
We don't get it until after the fact, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to tell them that, hey, he's trying to prepare them. This is going to happen. Oh, no, Jesus. No one ever going to get it. You are the Messiah. Yeah, he's the Messiah, and he's going to first give his life. But he knew it wasn't time, so he left the region of Judea, went back to Galilee. He's there, and he's ministering there. It got so bad, the sickness of Lazarus got so bad that even though they knew, his friends, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, their family knew that it was not safe for Jesus to go back to the area of Judea, they sent word for him to go. Say, hey, this is not good. You may want to come. And then Jesus makes a statement. This won't end in death. So the disciples think, oh, he's not going to die. No, he said it won't end in death. So he's not in any hurry. The Bible says 4 days later is when he made his journey. Because after that, then he said, our friend Lazarus is asleep. And the disciples said, well, that's good. He's getting some rest. He's going to get better. He said, no, you don't understand. He died. Whoa, Jesus, you said this wouldn't end in death. Yeah, it won't end in death. But he died. Now he shows back up against the advice of the disciples, by the way. Have you ever read that part? They're saying, no, you don't want to go there. Remember, they're trying to kill you. You need to stay here. Let what was done be done. Why are you saying all this? Because this is how we feel. Isn't it? We feel like Jesus is showing up 4 days late. We feel like, God, if you would have just came here, you could have saved me from all the suffering.
Yes.
But God was doing something greater in us than just saving us from suffering. He's producing a faith in us to trust him no matter what. So 4 days late, right, Jesus shows up on the scene. The disciples probably are doing one of these constantly because they're looking for the Jews to come and kill Jesus. They're all nervous. They're thinking, what are we going to do here? Then they find out they've already put Lazarus in a tomb. They've buried him already. Martha says, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Mary says the same thing, falling at his feet and weeping. And he's saying, guys, I am the resurrection and the life.
Hallelujah.
It's not that I was the resurrection. It wasn't that I was the healer. And now I can't be the healer because he died. I am.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
That reminds me of another story in the Bible. I am.
Yeah.
Said, I'm sending you. I am has showed up. The I am God is on the scene. Church, do not think for one minute that your back is against the wall and you need to be timid and shy and sit back and think it's all over, because you have the spirit of the I am God inside of you. And Jesus shows up at the tomb, says, roll away the stone. This was foreshadowing, by the way, if you've read the rest of the story. Roll away the stone. They're saying, man, he's going to stink by now. It's okay. Just roll away the stone. Lazarus, come forth. And at the words of Jesus Christ, all heaven and earth must obey. And that guy came out back alive again. Some of you think your situations are dead. You've rolled the stone in front of it. You've buried it. It's done. But God's saying, no. I am the resurrection and the life. I am your God. And I have given you my spirit that lives inside of you. And when you begin to understand that you possess the spirit of courage, a spirit that will face fear face to face and say, you don't scare me. Let's go. Why? Because it isn't my fight. It isn't my battle. Jesus has already fought it and won.
Yes, Lord.
That's what the Bible says when he says, I've not given you a spirit of fear.
Yes.
The church has bought into it too much. Well, it's time for us to back down. Be quiet. We don't want to offend anybody. Let me tell you something. You can't breathe without offending somebody. Anybody that's married knows that. I'm going to do something that's going to drive her crazy. And most of the time, I will say it like this, most of the time, I don't do it on purpose. Sometimes I do, just because I like to agitate. But most of the time, I don't do it on purpose. I don't know about you, but I'm so tired. In my spirit, I'm so tired of hearing how people are offended. You know what the sad part is? I hear it more out of church folk than I do everyone else. I understand, you know, that everybody's got their group nowadays. This group and that group, and this group is offended because they don't have a special day and everything. You know, I was teasing with my kids the other day. I said, we're going to make November meat lovers month. Because I'm offended by all the vegetarians and vegans. So I should be able to have my month where we eat nothing but meat. And I figured November would be a good time because it's deer hunting season. We can all go out and shoot ourselves a nice venison, cut it all up, get some good steaks. Some people are going, oh my goodness. Hey, it's healthy meat. It's healthy meat. And then Thanksgiving is in November. I mean, we ain't got to worry about all the other stuff. Let's just have the turkey and the ham and meat, right? Because we get so offended, don't we? Every group gets offended. And you know what gets me? The Christian people get more offended at those groups than those groups are offended at them. I mean, I just hear people complain about it all the time. All the time. I think to myself, well, man, if they want to just eat vegetables, let them. But my Bible told me I've been given dominion. And I like meat, so I'm going to eat it. Now, listen, if you are a vegan or a vegetarian, don't get up and leave right now because you're offended, okay? I'm talking about me, myself, and I, all right? And I understand sometimes people need to go on certain diets to change their health and help their health, and that's good. I'm using that because that's not as hot topic as the transgenders and the homosexuals. Because I want you to see, sometimes we're blinded by those words, aren't we? We get so angry when we hear the word transgender. We hear the word homosexual. We get so angry. Why? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Why am I going to get angry by that? Do I like the unrighteousness? No. I'm not okay with the unrighteousness. But I'm going to take a step further that may get some of you riled up in here this morning, but I don't like fornication either or adultery. Sometimes that's running rampant. I got to talk to you right now because you're my wife. Sometimes that runs rampant in the church.
Yeah.
The very churches that are out there screaming at the homosexuals and how bad their sin is. Sexual sin is sexual sin.
Amen.
It's the only sin that's against the body. And it's not just homosexual sin. It's any sexual sin. It's against the body. That's what the Bible says. You know God saves and redeems of all of that? God forgives that. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's amazing. God forgives that. But we get a spirit in us that's not of the Spirit of God. And we get religious or we get timid. One of the two. It's time the church finds itself where it's supposed to be. In the power of the Holy Spirit. where I don't get religious about stuff, but I also don't get timid about stuff. I'm not afraid. Look, I have no weird feelings talking about these things in front of you right now. You know why? Because the Bible does. I'm a preacher of the Bible. I'm giving you the Word of God this morning. I don't back down and shy away from what the Bible says. I believe that people are rescued and transformed and changed. And the Bible even says if I've committed one, I've committed them all anyway. I've broken the law of God, and I need a Savior. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so it's time that we start walking in the power and the authority that God's given us, not in some spirit of fear. Because you know what? A religious spirit is a fearful spirit. Let's just go here for a minute. Why do we always make all these rules in churches? Because we're afraid someone's going to break them. I'm just going to speak from experience here. I'll preach to you, Pastor Darius, because you'll get this one. Almost every bylaw was made because someone messed up. And now we're afraid someone else is going to mess up. So a religious spirit writes up some type of bylaw, and we pass it as a religious group and says, now we got to protect ourselves to make sure this doesn't happen. We forget Jesus is the Lord of the church. Now, I'm not against structure and organization, so don't misunderstand me. But I'm going to tell you something. Bylaw doesn't trump Scripture. And we get so religious because it comes from a fearful place, church. We're afraid somebody else is going to hurt us and somebody else is going to do us wrong. We're fearful that of the next pastor that's going to raise up a large church, and then we're going to find out that he's failed God miserably. He's had an affair against his wife. He's done this. He's done that. And so we put all of these things in place trying to protect ourselves. And what do? We focus on the wrong thing, and we see person after person after person keep messing them up. We cannot rule ourselves. The Old Testament should have taught us that. We need the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when we walk in the Spirit and we allow the Spirit of God to rule us and to guide us and to be our Lord, then we don't have to worry about all the sinfulness and all the unrighteousness, because He is the one making us righteous. And then I can walk around bold enough to say, I will not sin. I will not live ungodly. I will live holy, not because of me, but because of the Spirit of God that is inside of me. Amen. That's what it's about, church. I'm not a coward or timid about those things. I've been called a coward at times because I wouldn't stand up to the government. And I thought to myself, when has Mike DeWine or President Biden ever called me up and talked with me? When has any legislator of any level called me up and talked to me about my opinion? Never. Never. They don't know my name. So you think that I need to come in to a church house and preach against these people who will never hear anything I have to say? I would rather give you Jesus, because Jesus transforms everybody. Not worried about all that junk. Honestly, I'm not. You know why? It's not my job. God's taking care of that. Now, when people ask me my opinion, you better believe I'm going to give it. And I'm going to give it boldly because I have the Spirit of God inside of me. I'm going to tell them the truth of the Word of God. But I'm going to do it in love. Because we all need Jesus. I'm not going to let these things overwhelm me. I'm not going to let circumstances in my family that I don't like overwhelm me. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let broken relationships overwhelm me. I'm not going to let situations in my job overwhelm me. Why? Because I have not been given the spirit of fear. I've been given the Holy Spirit that enables me to overcome every situation and circumstance I face. And this is what we do, church. We relinquish. That's a fancy term I learned that just means to give away. We give away our peace. We give away our joy. We give away holding on to love and loving and caring for people. We give it away. We put walls up. We build things up in our hearts. And we say, no, not going to go there anymore. I'll just get hurt. No, not going to let that happen anymore. You've given away your peace now. You just have turmoil in your mind constantly. Because you have given away your peace. The devil didn't steal it from you. You gave it to him.
Yeah.
Oh, the devil stole it. No, you gave it to him. He has no power or authority to take it from you. I'm preaching about we're not given the spirit of fear. I'm touching all these things because I want you to get it. We've not been given the spirit of fear. That means I don't have to give anything up. I mean, I could be on the Titanic and it's sinking, Jim, and I could have peace. Because no matter what happens to me when my body hits that cold water, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. I have peace. I have joy. You think your ship of your family is sinking? You think the ship of your job is sinking? Whatever situation you want to name, you think it's sinking? Go join the violinists and dance. Some of you Titanic people know what I'm talking about. They just kept playing, right? While the ship went down. Go and dance with them. People think you're crazy, but that's okay because you have joy, you have peace, you have love, and you have a sound, well-disciplined mind because you have the Spirit of God. That's what you do in the midst of that. You stir it up. When it feels like all hell is assailing you or coming against you, the old song said, I shall not be moved. Why? Because Jesus will not fail me. I shall not be moved. I'm going to stand like a tree that's planted by the stream of water, and I'm not going to be moved. No one's taking my peace from me. No one's taking my joy from me. No one's taking the love of God from me. I'm not going to get angry at people. I'm going to love people. I'm going to walk in patience and long-suffering. I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be meek. I'm going to have all of these characteristics of the Spirit because He is the one who lives inside of me. And no matter how I feel, look, sometimes you got to check yourself, and sometimes you're in the middle of it when you got to check yourself. Boy, I told you to pick up that room 30 minutes ago, and now, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you for saving me, God, because otherwise I'd have knocked that boy out right now. Check yourself right in the middle of it. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. We have feelings. We have emotions. That's called being human, right? And the carnal part of us wants to pull us away from the blessings of God. But when we feed our spirit, man, the Spirit of God will rise up a standard and say, no, do not go there. You don't need to go there. You don't need to leave your peace. You don't need to leave the comfort that I've given you. Because of a moment of frustration. You know that we can get to the point where we don't have bad days anymore? Isn't it funny? One thing happens and it's a bad day. God showed me that through my daughter. Don't tell her I told you this, okay? But man, her world would just turn upside down. Good thing I got two of them because now you don't know which one. At a moment's notice, her world would turn upside down because one thing happened. Now she's having a bad day. And she's letting it affect her attitude everywhere she goes and everything she's doing. And I thought, how silly is that? And God knocked me on the shoulder and said, yeah, pretty silly, isn't it, Joe? I thought, oh, thank you, Lord, for checking me and helping me. Because she's just acting like me right now is what she's doing. And I need to do a better job. Because God didn't give me spirit that's fearful, that has to back down, that's scared, that has to relinquish and let go of my peace and give in to fear, give in to doubt. I don't have to doubt things. I can stand strong in the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to continue this because I didn't even get off the first passage. I got other scriptures because I'm going to break it down. Power, love, and discipline. We're going to break that down in the weeks to come. It may take me 3 weeks. It may take me one more week. Who knows? But I want you to know, church, that you have the Spirit of God. Do we understand what that means? The same Spirit, Brother Andy, that rose Jesus from the dead. Resurrection power lives right there. Why are we going to give in to anything, any thought that we have? Why are we going to go give over to that stuff? Why? When we possess that in us. I like that. Don't you? Yeah. I like that I don't have to be afraid. I hate fear, man. I hate the whole feeling of it. Anybody tell you ain't never been afraid, they're a liar. Everybody's feared something. Everybody's had something come on them. But I don't have to live there because I have the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm preaching this to a lot of people who I believe have already been blood-bought, sanctified, cleansed from their sins. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're not there, you can't live in anything but fear. Because you've never experienced the blessing of knowing this Spirit that I'm talking about, coming and living inside of you and you being born again. It's life-changing, church. It's life-changing. Sometimes when we've been saved for a while, we forget that, don't we? And we need to remind ourselves, that's the stirring up part. We have been changed. And the reason that we're so bold here and preach about getting saved is not because we condemn people and we want them to feel bad. No, we want them to be rescued from that feeling of fear, that feeling of insecurity, that feeling of not knowing if they have hope, feeling of walking around in this world aimlessly, wondering if anything will ever come to what their life is supposed to be, a feeling of not knowing purpose. That's why we preach salvation. Jesus rescues you from all of that and gives you purpose in your life and takes away the fear in your heart. I've been there in the room with the saints of God as they're passing. That's why I can talk about the Titanic. Just ride it and let it go. I've watched people do it. Yeah. I've watched people even embrace it.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they knew where they were going.
Yeah.
And they hadn't let go of their peace. Tears of joy come in my heart right now, remembering those moments with the saints of God as I stood by them in a hospice bed and them look at me and say, Pastor, I'm ready to go. I've just been praying, Lord, just come take me. I'm ready to be with you.
Yeah.
The whole room was full of God's peace.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was no fear there. Then I've been in there where there was nothing but torment. People holding on in agony, so scared to die because they didn't know what was going to happen. And my soul was grieved by that. Oh God, let them have your blessed assurance of knowing that you are their Savior and you have rescued them. Let them understand that right now and give them that peace. I'm telling you, there's a major difference. When you know that you don't have to fear the one that can take the body because you already fear the Lord who has control of your soul, there's a major difference. It's so peaceful. It's so great. And if Jesus has already won the battle over death, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. We have been given a spirit. The Holy Spirit, so we don't have to fear. If you'll stand to your feet this morning. Father, I thank you right now, Lord. I thank you for all that you have done and accomplished by your precious Son, Jesus. The work that he did on the cross, the blood that he shed for us, that redeems us, that remits our sin, reconciles us back to you, Lord. God, I pray that you would help everyone in here to know that this morning. To fully understand your saving grace and the Spirit of God that lives inside of them. Now, God, I pray for those of us that have experienced this already. Help us to remember this. Help us to remind ourselves of our faith, that it's not blind faith because we've already seen what you've done, God. So we put faith in you through your Son, Jesus, and we stir up the Spirit that lives inside of us to live godly lives for you. Not lives that are full of fear, not lives that are religious and we're afraid that we have to control and manipulate everything. No. Lives that are steadfast and secure in you, God, right now. I pray for people who have been dealing with things that are trying to wreak havoc on their peace and their joy. Things that have been coming against them. Lies that have been spoken about them. Feelings that are trying to torment them. Father, we just even rebuke night terrors in people who are dealing with dreams that are trying to disturb them right now. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We proclaim your peace in their life right now. Right now, Father. We boldly speak it into existence according to your word and faith. Peace in their hearts and minds. It passes our knowledge. We can't understand it, but we can experience it, God. And we receive it right now. Father, I pray for this church, that we would continue to walk in your Spirit, not fulfill the desires of ourselves, Lord, and the things that we want, but God, make our hearts be knit and united with you to do what you want. That we would walk in your authority, God, and in your power, and in your love, and be disciplined people. That should show forth your praises, God, your glory, and your honor. God, as we leave this place, I pray that this word has stirred hearts. But God, I pray that we will apply this to our life. This will be a practical thing that we do. God, we don't just come here to hear a good sermon. We come here to be transformed so we can live it. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're doing it right now in our hearts. You're causing us to see things differently. They're not going to affect us anymore the way they used to. And we're going to check ourselves. We're going to catch ourselves right in the moment. And we're going to run to you, Holy Spirit. Lean upon your understanding, your wisdom and knowledge. And God, we're going to become so different in the way we live our life because we're so dependent upon you, living in your Holy Spirit, Father, that people are going to begin to notice. They're going to begin to notice. And they're going to begin to ask us, what is so different about you? I thank you for that testimony right now. I thank you that we're going to be able to proclaim your glory through the way we live our lives differently in this generation. Now, Father, I rebuke the destroyer right now that would try to destroy homes, come against us in any way. We plead the blood of Jesus over our lives right now. I rebuke fear that would try to come on us. We have been given your Holy Spirit that has power, love, and a disciplined mind. I rebuke the spirit of heaviness right now that would try to come on us. And we cast that heaviness off and we put on the garment of praise right now. We live lives of praise unto you. Father, I rebuke the spirit of infirmity that would try to cause us to go crazy, chasing down sicknesses and disease and viruses and bacteria and naming and labeling everything that's moving around in our body when really it's just a spirit of infirmity that's binding people's lives. We cast it out in the name of Jesus. We speak wholeness right now to the body, soul, and spirit. Wholeness right now. Spirit of infirmities have no place in us. We are healed by the stripes that Jesus took, the whipping he took on his back. God, I thank you right now that your promise is that you rebuke the devourer for our sake. And every seed that we sow, whether it be the word of the gospel, monetary seed, a gift we give someone, some type of thing that we plant in someone's life of goodness, I thank you, Lord, that it's going to reap hundredfold harvest because you're rebuking the devourer. It will not be devoured up. It will not be taken away. No pestilence can eat it up. No thing that tries to come against it will destroy it. And we will receive a hundredfold from what we plant. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for a hundredfold right now. I thank you, God, for souls being saved through our ministries, through individual lives in here. We're going to reach people and see their hearts transformed and changed. I thank you that prodigals are coming home. They're coming to themselves and turning around and coming back to you, God. I thank you for leaders rising up in your kingdom, workers in your fields to reap your harvest. And God, I thank you that you're financing the vision that you've given us, not only in this church, but the vision of the worldwide church to do the Great Commission. We thank you for it right now. We give you glory and praise and honor for what you're doing. And God, we choose to focus on you and do what you're doing, not to focus on what everybody else is doing and get upset and frustrated and mad. We focus upon you, Jesus, for you are still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You still are the Savior of souls. You still are the deliverer of the captives. You still open blind eyes. You still fill the hungry heart and bring it back, piece it back together and make it whole again. God, you are still the miracle working God. You are the same God, and you are our God. And while we're thankful that you're the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the God of David and the God of Peter and the God of Paul and the God of Apostle John, we're thankful for those people who were representatives in our lives. But God, you are our God, and we serve you. And Father, I pray that as we go and leave this place, you will help us to seal this word in our heart. For Father, this is more than just a moment. This is more than just a message. This is more than just an altar call. God, this is life changing. This is your word that's penetrating us. Now, Father, I pray that you would forgive us. Forgive us for our complacency. Forgive us for treating your things nonchalantly. Forgive us for not fearing you and respecting you like we should. And help us, God, to get our minds back in the place where they're supposed to be so that we can be effective in your kingdom. Now I pray that grace and peace be multiplied to all those here, whether they're watching online or here in the building. Grace and peace be multiplied to them right now. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. I don't feel like giving an altar call today. What I feel like God wants to do is he wants to send you home to think about what he's spoken to your heart while I was preaching. We bless you. We pray that you have a wonderful Sunday. We thank you all for coming and joining us. And we'll see you again next week. God bless.